Almost 10 years ago, the Louisiana Annual Conference hosted an event in Alexandria, Louisiana called the Rethink Evangelism Event. Were any of you a part of that event? Did you go? I know there were teams from every church that went. I happened to be part of the hosting of that event because I was appointed to an Alexandria church at the time, and I got to become more than a little acquainted with Tony Campolo. Dr. Tony Campolo is certainly one of our most gifted and prophetic pastors and preachers of the day. He was our invited guest for this Rethink Evangelism conference. So we gathered there in Alexandria, and he began to tell us that the church needs to rethink who we are in the world. Now, this was an initiative that was originally begun in the general church. I don't know if you remember, there were billboards. They had billboards all over New Orleans and Slidell and all over Louisiana that said, "Rethink church." What if church were a verb? What if church were a verb? We're accustomed to thinking about church as a noun, a place with people. But what if church were a verb? And so I kind of engaged in the rethinking a little bit in my own mind, and I thought, you know, well, this is one of those things that we're going to do in the Methodist Church that comes and goes, so I'm not going to invest too much time in this rethinking about the church, because the next week there'll be another soup du jour, and we'll be doing some other kind of gitchy little evangelism thinking about the church. But this is something that's really stuck with the United Methodist Church, and we still in the church are capitalizing on this question: what if church were a verb? So Dr. Campolo, in one of his talks that weekend, invited us to live a lifestyle of defining ourselves as the body of Christ and being called as the body of Christ to be Christ in the world. Now, Ecclesiastes said in his writings, "There is nothing new under the sun." This definition, being called to live a lifestyle of defining ourselves as the body of Christ and being called as the body of Christ in the world, is not new for us. It has been our calling since the very genesis of the church. It's the same invitation that Jesus Christ gives to us in the great commandment: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's the same invitation given to us by Christ in the Great Commission: go ye therefore into all the world, making disciples and baptizing people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, from the earliest days of my call, and from the earliest days when I could formulate that I was saved and what that meant in my life, I have yearned to be all that God has called me to be, and I have dedicated my life to lead others to a relationship with Jesus Christ so that they might be all that God means for them to be. There's an old spiritual, the chorus of which goes something like this: when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. This is our vision. This is our hope for who we are as Christians. That on those last days of our lives, as we enter into the next life, we are greeted by Jesus himself who says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter now into the kingdom of heaven as it is promised to you." You see, it's a hymn that fully defines what our end game is as Christians. And we freely, openly talk about wanting to go to heaven. I can't wait to get to heaven. Not just now. You know, when it's my time. We say that kind of thing. And we yearn to be a part of that great chorus of angels that sings in the heavenly hosts. But before we can claim heaven as our home, we must make the church our home. And not just any church. We are to be active, engaged participants in the church of Jesus Christ. the church that calls ordinary people into extraordinary relationship with Christ through God and in the power of the Holy Spirit. For truly, only in this, only when we are the church, only if we are called forward by God and we answer that call and we faithfully, dutifully serve that call, can we be certain that if the roll were called up yonder on any given day, then we would enter in. You see, I think we need to first begin by defining to our best ability what the church is. What do we think about the church, and what do we really believe about the church? Some years ago, I ran across an acronym for church, an acronym which describes what relationships within the body of Christ should be like. So the first letter, the letter C, Christ-like. We are to be Christ-like. We should relate to one another in the same way that Jesus relates to us. We should put aside petty competitions and the need to have things always our way, my way. For when we have something that's my way, it's not all of our way. We must put aside treating one another with disrespect, and we must treat one another in love and full respect, in the same manner that Jesus treated those who encountered him. The Apostle Paul calls this being of the mind of Christ. If we could just learn to do that, then many of our problems would be solved. The second letter, the H, stands for house to house. You see, we should share more than Sunday-only relationships. We should be in community with one another throughout the week. We should establish constant communion. This was one of the precepts of the first church. And as churches began to grow and be developed, they started often in houses. And folks would go from house to house to have fellowship, to have study, to have constant communion with one another. We see this happen sometimes in small groups, but it is increasingly difficult for small groups to link towards the central group of the church. There should be relationships that extend throughout the whole congregation. We should show and practice genuine care and love for one another. I've really been enjoying these lunch with the pastors on Tuesday. It's just a nice time to sit and visit. Something that we don't get to do on Sunday morning. We're too busy running in and running out in the drive-through type of church, where what we really need to do is connect with one another and establish relationship with one another. We're going to try to recreate a Wednesday evening time here for fellowship and for connection beginning in the fall. So Christ-like and house to house. The third letter is U, united. You see, as the body of Christ, we're to be joined together by love. And love, as Jesus describes it, is perfect. We're to be one. One spirit. It may be okay to disagree, but we agree to disagree. Because for the sake of the whole body, we must put aside our selfishness to be united with one another. What happens to one happens to all. What matters to one matters to all. The next letter is R, and this letter is redemptive. We are to be the body of Christ in the world. When the world sees how we relate towards one another within the church and in the community, then they are drawn to the same love of Jesus that brings us here. I often challenge our staff and others, were you wearing your Aldersgate t-shirt when you said that? What does the community think about us? At a social event last night, a woman in the community made a point of letting me know that she appreciates Aldersgate. She confessed that she's of another denomination. She had been here for the blessing of the pets last fall, and she says, I just want you to know that I love your church. And your church is a remarkable beacon of light in this community. When we leave the doors of this church, who we are enters into the community at large. And that should be a mirror image of Christ in the world, not Christ of the world. The next to last letter is another C letter, and this letter is compassionate. In the same way that we cannot ignore pain in our physical body, we cannot ignore a brother or sister in need. We share their pain. We have more than thought about their pain. We are empathetic about their pain. And then love moves us to action so that we might be a vehicle of healing and hope and love in the world. And the last letter is H. We are to be helpful. You see, God has freely given to us, therefore we can freely share with those in need. More of God's grace can flow through an open hand willing to share than a clenched fist holding on to all that God has given. Christ-like, house to house, united, redemptive, compassionate, and helpful. These characteristics should set our relationships within the church apart from those in the world. We need to know how to love one another, truly love one another. We need to know how to relate to one another within the church, within our families, within our friends and acquaintances. But equally important, we need to know what the church is all about and why is there a church anyway. So what do you think about the Church of Jesus Christ? What do you believe about the Church of Jesus Christ? What's its purpose and vision and mission? This is what the writer of Ephesians says in chapter 3. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished through Jesus Christ. You see, the church is Christ's life-giving love in the world. So I think it is good for us to think about the church and figure out what we believe about the church and try to understand what is it that Paul is saying to us about the church today. I think one thing that Paul is saying is that God has a plan for the church, that God has a plan for this church, Aldersgate United Methodist Church. This church is not some divine accident. God's plan has been kept hidden, known only to God, but now God's eternal purposes have been completed through Jesus Christ. And God's intention is that through the church, God's great wisdom will be made known. You see, God's purpose is made known as the gospel is preached to all, as the communion is served to all, as love, grace, and mercy are shared for and in all. God declares his purpose even in the heavens through us, his church in the world. The word church, which is also translated assembly, comes from a Greek word ekklesia, which literally means a calling out. It's a meeting of people who have been called out or summoned together as an assembly. And in the New Testament, ekklesia refers to the congregation of God's people who have been called out, separated from the world into God's kingdom. When you and I think of the church in terms of individuals being called out from the world, the question we should ask is not, what church do you attend? But rather, have you answered God's call to be a part of the church, of God's wisdom in the world? Someone once said, the church is the body of Christ, the habitation of God through the Spirit, with divine appointments for the fulfillment of her great commission. Each believer born of the Spirit is an integral part. So again, I say to you, the question is not, do you go to church, or what church do you go to? The question is, are you an integral part of the church which you attend? You see, the church is not made of bricks and mortar, as Clark said in his children's sermon. The church is made of people. And when we talk about the church, we're not talking about buildings. We're talking about you and me. It's the people who make the church. And our question to answer is, are we part of God's church? Do we live by the Spirit of God? And do we allow that Spirit to be the Spirit that sends us into the world for the making of disciples and the transformation of the world? So I want you to really think about these things. Have you answered God's call to be a part of His church? Are you an integral part of the church? How can you become a more integral part of the church? Are you part of God's church in which His Holy Spirit abides in you and sends you into the world? So what if church were a verb? If church is a verb, then you and I have to decide, how is it that Aldersgate United Methodist Church is going to be love and action in the world? And this challenge is not my challenge. It's really God's challenge for you, for your lives, and for the building of His kingdom present. These are not unanswerable questions. These are questions of faith, which very much demand answers. Bold, courageous, faithful, and faith-filled answers. Sincerely, I invite you to think about the church and pray about the church and help us define how we are going to be the church of Jesus Christ in the 21st century and beyond.